Hey guys, we have reached our season finale of the DC show. We're not going anywhere. We're going to take a little bit of a break. Also trying to just coincide and align it with the surgery that I'm getting. And I'm actually trying to not get it as well. So don't be surprised if I chicken out because I've been trying everything. Charging crystals in the moonlight, you know, you name it. Doing whatever I can to get some kind of miraculous healing. Prayer. Praying in tongues.
Prayer.
But when we come back, it'll be reformulated, reformatted, and it's been a long time coming. It's been a little bit overdue. Clearly, this podcast changed during the pandemic, and it changed probably 16 times during the pandemic. And all the things that we said we were going to do, we're going to try to actually get done. So yeah, bear with us. The only thing that is a constant here is change, and excited about what we're going to be able to offer when we get back, what, 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, 2-3 weeks.
And we haven't yet decided if there'll be a best of, but maybe we'll do that or release some of our favorite podcasts or our worst podcast.
Should we just do the worst of episodes in the interview break? Hear the worst moments from the DC show?
The unlistenables. And while you're waiting, you can watch us on Netflix, on Dinnertime Live. I don't know how many episodes we have, but we're in the teens now, and we're going to be in the 20s. By the time it's all said and done, I didn't know that half my year would be taken over by this show. Check it out. It's also Netflix is a joke month. So there's going to be a lot of live content in general with a lot of our good friends. Can't reveal too much because I don't want to get in trouble for revealing too much. But there's a lot of live content on Netflix that's going to be really fun. A lot of our friends are going to be doing some cool shit. So check that out. And all episodes of Chrissy and Dave Dine Out are available also on Hulu. And our fledgling YouTube channel. Sign up, subscribe, and make Ira happy by watching all of our stuff as we slowly populate that. It's been hard to focus on YouTube since there's been a lot happening this year. But Amazon football.
Oh my God. Amazon football, Netflix. But every time you smash a like button, Ira lets out a little giggle. Every smashed subscribe button, he gets a little tickle.
Don't be surprised if you listen and you're like, hey, where's the new podcast? It's coming. Main reason why is we're just long overdue for an overhaul, and I'm going to be out of commission, and I might run away to south of the border to not get this surgery. I'm really scared, but it's all right.
You'll be okay.
No, I won't.
I promise.
It's all right. Let's get on to the show. Welcome to the Dave Chang Show, part of the Ringer Podcast Network, presented by Major W Media. Thank you, Latengo, as always. We got a Delete Yelper, an Ask Dave, and a Moif.
Action-packed season finale. Okay, not action-packed, just kind of like a bridge episode.
I have a three things. So, you know, I'm having a hard time figuring out how to cook at home when there's like four people or five people.
Right. Because that's what two it's why did that number was
I think
that number
as a you know, like it's always we've talked about this a lot where if you make food and it's the right amount, it looks weird if everyone's satiated. Mm-hmm. I think that if people are looking at the diminishing amount of food on the table where it's like, ooh, it's going to be exact amount of food and clean plates. Mm-hmm. I think subconsciously people are not eating as much. Because they know that it's a limited supply.
Yes. I agree with that. At least, I don't know. I don't know that everybody acts that way, but civilized eaters tend to are affected by it.
I don't want to say who they are, but people in the Momofuku world. I cooked way too much food again. And I thought to myself, there's no way I could have done this. I caught two chickens, and it wound up being what? My in-laws are in town. There's like eight adults.
Okay.
I thought two chickens would be plenty.
One chicken definitely wouldn't be enough.
Wouldn't be enough. Well, so what am I supposed to do? Get a Cornish game hen? You know?
Three Cornish game hens. 1.5 chickens.
And yeah. There was also two other guests because there was like a Hugo play date and their parents. And I said, yeah, you should stick by for dinner. Anyway, okay. I smoked some chickens. I made a panzanella salad.
Oh.
Served it on there, a la Zuni, but better. I also made some beef rice because I had to get rid of some smoked beef. I also made some Alfredo for the kids. I also made roasted potatoes.
Okay, bread, you know, potato,
I made like I boiled potatoes, smashed them, roasted them so they're nice and crunchy, like British style potatoes. I also needed to get rid of some cabbage and some cauliflower, so I charred those off and served them some like a lemon vinaigrette.
Sure.
And I looked at the spread. It was a lot of food. Also, I made a chocolate tart.
Okay. So that's just keeping my internal bread carb count. That's bread and panzanella, beef, rice. You said Alfredo, mm-hmm. pasta,
potatoes,
and a chocolate pastry tart. You've achieved the quintuple starch.
I did. But more importantly, I look like an asshole because nobody could eat any of it. I donned it, and I look like such a dum-dum. I was like, oh, man, I cooked too much food. And they're like, you think?
So give me a percentage. Is,
like, you can't – how are you supposed to dress a salad? When, like a panzanella, because it's not going to be good the next day.
Yes.
Right?
That's not that good the next day. I also just think generally grilled smoked food, not the best of leftovers.
I disagree.
I don't like it the next day.
So I got a bunch of chicken, and I just dawned on me. I was like, I don't know how to, I actually have no idea how to cook for.
How much did you overshoot by? Give us a rundown of what was by left.
10 people. I really did.
So how much of everything, how much of your two
also,
chickens?
Also, I had a cocktail. Left? I had a wine spritzer, and boy, did I lose my marbles last night.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Because this is the first time I've had alcohol on these medications, and I started to power down. Oh, it's so slow.
So you were, how's your Mahjong game?
It's basically Uno. Or like, right?
Yeah, it's gin rummy.
Gin rummy.
Yeah. You any good?
I don't know. How do you become good at it? Isn't it
luck? I don't know. You just yell like, Pong! Like, I think if somebody yells Pong. G Pong.
Mahjong, motherfucker. Anyway, I can see my life being much more Mahjong. My wife enjoyed it quite a bit.
Oh, she was into it.
Oh, yeah. She was.
The sound of the tiles is the clack, clack, clack of the tiles is nice. Do you like that sound?
Maybe I could become a professional Mahjong player.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Smoke a lot more cigarettes. Mm. So you overshot cooking by 10
people. A tremendous amount. Basically, going back to the story, I just don't know how to appropriately cook the right amount of food for any group of people. Because when I cook food, and this is for the cooks out there, when you have to make food for people, and if you worked in restaurants, you're always used to making huge batches for family meal.
Mm.
I don't know how to, it's a problem, and I don't know how to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. It wasn't that big of an issue during the pandemic because it was hard to get shit,
mm-hmm.
right? And I was like, well,
that's all the chickens we got.
Chickpeas you're going to get, you know? Everyone was sort of rationed off. And now I was like, wow, these two chickens is a lot.
Do you send people home with leftovers?
That's all I do.
Ship them out. Because you're also, by your admission, not that big of a leftover guy.
No.
You don't like to have leftovers.
No.
But to have that much is crazy.
I cooked some mule deer this weekend, too, from Ranella. Ranella, Steven, when Ranella was on, I got a rabbit that I'm looking at, being like, oh, I hate butchering rabbits, cleaning them. And I was looking at myself, I was like, I don't want to throw this away, but I also don't want to eat it. And I have all, so, because we've been like trying to clean out my freezer, and I have all of this game meat, and my family doesn't want to eat it except for me. So I've been.
Why don't you like cleaning rabbits? Because they're like just small and annoying.
Yeah. And also, when you get to the rib cage, like weirdly, it goes, one bone goes the other way. You got to use the knife. And rabbits, I got to say, this is the second bit. Three things. One is, I don't know how to cook appropriate amounts of food. Sure. I just don't know. Some people are colorblind. Some people like can't see, you know, can't think of numbers. Can't, right. You know, I have some kind of spatial issue that does right. not compute in my head.
Some people can't.
And I blame it because of family meal.
Right.
Cooking huge amounts of food.
Yeah.
Two, I realize that I think rabbits are hard for me.
Is it? Is it because it's a cute fuzzy wuzzy rabbit?
Yeah.
A little bit, right?
A little bit. Even though this one is a wild rabbit. Truth be told, I've never had a wild rabbit. So I'm also like, meh.
When I think of a wild rabbit, I think, you know, the whole thing of like, oh, free range animals, wild animals, they move around more. They taste like more like nature, like, you know, call it gamey, call it whatever. There's more of a natural taste. I think of a wild rabbit. I'm like, That dude moves around too much.
And let me tell you what. When something has to be deep fried and soaked in milk, it's not what you do.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So anyway, I'm looking at this carcass and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with it. I gotta eat this mule deer, which was delicious. The backstrap. I want to eat more game in general. So if somebody just wants to keep on shipping it to me, great. But in general, I'm anti-rabbit. I'm anti-rabbit.
It pushes even your limits.
Two proteins that will never make it pop. Will never meet. Actually, that's not true. If again, 25 years ago, you said all these white people are going to be eating uni, I'd be like, no fucking way.
Sure. But
it would be the equivalent of me making the proclamation that in 25 years, rabbit is going to be the hottest shit out there.
But rabbit has had its 25 years. Rabbits have had centuries to become popular, and it has failed.
I don't know.
You were going to say two animals.
Goat.
Goat. Yeah.
Goat.
Here's why.
Goat is delicious. Yeah. Roasted goat. Cabrillo. How do you say that?
Cabrillo. Here's what I think. I think it's both for the reason. I don't think it has anything to do with taste. I think rabbit, because people, it's a pet. And goat, because it's the Satan's animal.
It definitely tastes. You know what? I'm just gonna say this too. Goat milk sucks. Goat cheese sucks.
You don't like chèvre?
Chèvre? No. Goat cheese is terrible. It tastes like goat ass.
Tastes like pee-pee. Tastes a little bit like pee-pee juice.
So no, I'm not the biggest fan of goat or rabbit, but I'll eat it. I mean, like, I've cooked so much rabbit in my life that I'm not, you know, when Marco Canora used to have this rabbit galantine, I used to have to clean six every Sunday night or Monday night. What a pain in the fucking
day. Are they popular though? Rabbit, they move?
You'd stuff it with the farce, some prosciutto, some rosemary. I can't remember what was in the farce. Tie it up, poach it, you know.
It's going to be good by the end of the process.
I'd make rabbit sandwiches at night.
With like the galantine?
Yeah, the ends.
Ooh, that does sound pretty good though.
It's just chicken. But I think at the end of the day, I just, you know, it's a hard thing to be like, yeah, I want to eat a rabbit.
It's rare though. So on a menu, I see it. I'm like, oh, rabbit. My eye is drawn to it. But I'm not my first choice either. I just feel like I'm gnawing on like a bony little guy.
It's just a matter of time before some food magazine says, rabbit.
Rabbit and ube.
Yeah, rabbit and ube. Goat. That's it. Those are my three things. Can't cook appropriate amounts of food. Two, I'm over rabbit. Three, I never like goat. Except a curry goat. Curry goat is delicious.
Beauty, yeah.
Fourth hot take. So I was watching some YouTube videos, and you know, when people do those, like the Hawaiian luau's?
Yeah.
I've never had one. So first and foremost, okay. I've never had one. Two, I don't understand it.
Which part don't you understand?
I don't understand why you would want to wrap all your meat in a moist package and not get any like Maillard reaction. You know, I don't understand it. It's just, you're just steaming it.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful. It looks cool, but.
You want a roast crispy lechon.
The Filipinos have figured it out.
Yeah. Crispy lechon.
I just don't understand why you'd want to just have it moist.
Well, that opening scene of Korean Pork Belly Rhapsody, they do a similar thing. Do you remember that scene where they bury the pig and then
I was embarrassed.
You didn't like that either.
I was embarrassed.
That looked awesome.
I don't want it to be water. I don't want it. I love boiled. No, listen, I am the king of boiled. I am the self-proclaimed king of boiled meats. I just think if you're going to go through that and create a fire pit and everything, roast that shit.
It is true. You're building a whole fire pit just to get a wet pig.
Yes.
And
just
pig.
Put it in a, I'd rather you just put it in a big cauldron of water. That's all I'm trying to say.
Sure.
The other thing, I've never tried this. I want to try poi for the first time. Have you ever tried it?
I have had poi. It is good. It's fine. Here's the thing about poi. I like poi for the same reason I like a rice porridge, which is like vehicle for other stuff. I'm not a poi by itself guy.
You know what? Another realization I've come to. I'm over kanji and juk and porridge in general.
In general,
yeah.
Then why do you want to try poi? It's just less flavorful kanji.
You know, for me to enjoy some kind of rice porridge, I need to doctor it up with all kinds of
stuff. That's what I'm saying. Your poi needs doctoring too. It's just a staple. It's a staple food, right? It's literal rib sticking stuff.
You know, so just in all fairness, if I want to make fun of risotto every time, just saying.
Okay, do not lump rice porridge in with the risotto.
I just did.
Please.
I just did.
Please.
Marco Polo.
That's offensive, man. That is offensive. Not the same thing. Not the same thing.
Except that one cooks it properly.
Exactly. One finishes cooking and the other doesn't.
All right. Let's take a break. This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. No matter how you like your eggs, scrambled, over easy, or sunny side up, the people at Vital Farms believe in one thing, keeping it bullshit free. That's why their pasture-raised eggs come from hens who each have over 108 square feet of space to roam and forage all year round. So you can spend less time questioning your food and more time enjoying it. Look for Vital Farms in your grocery store and learn more at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free. This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Great iced tea takes you somewhere else, like new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea that we have here at the Spotify Studios and drink quite a bit, where unexpectedly blackberry flavor transports you to a berry delicious place. So refreshing, you may never want to leave. You will eventually have to, though. But take your time. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf. That's 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. You know what we got here?
Okay, it's time for Delete Yelper, where we take some of the most cringeworthy content uploaded by real people and give them a platform on our show. Today's example comes from Drew W. in San Francisco about Corey Lee's 3 Michelin star restaurant, Banu.
So for those that don't know, Corey Lee, our good friend of the show, but I think he's in 2024, most people should state that he's probably, you know, if UFC has the bad motherfucker belt, he's got the bad motherfucker belt.
Yeah, for sure. Undisputed BMF.
I have no idea. I haven't read this Yelp review. All I know is it's going to be good. So let me get in here. This person, Drew, by the way, not many Asian people named Drew. So we probably, you know, Sherlock Holmes deduct that this person's not Asian.
Wait.
Do you know an Asian person named Drew?
Andrew.
Drew. Just Drew.
I don't know any Asian people who go by Drew.
What's funny is then the next step up is Cornelius. And Benedict.
I don't know any Asian Drews, but as the owner of the only Asian Keith, I can't really say anything.
You are the Asian. I'll never forget when you said, hey, we're naming him Keith. I was like, huh.
That's unique.
Banu is a joke of a restaurant. Hear. 4 of us tried the tasting menu. If you look at my history on Yelp, I seldom write a review, but I feel like this is a review worth writing. The chef took it upon himself to take a Chinese wedding banquet menu, serve things miniaturized, dress up the wording of each dish, and serve it to guests. 1,000-year-old egg, salt and pepper squid, etc. Ridiculous. Anyway, anyone going to this restaurant can walk up the street and have the same dishes at an eighth of the price with leftovers for every homeless you see on your way home. Dude. Watching an Asian... Dude is not what he said. I'm saying...
I know. Dude.
Dude. Watching an Asian family walk in and giving handshakes and high fives to the servers and managers was the only highlight of my experience. Pretentious, expensive, and shit food is what I would describe this restaurant. Dude. The worst part is, I brought a friend from overseas to this restaurant as I thought this would be a good representation of San Francisco fine dining. It is. Anyone giving a review that is higher than 2 stars have never be followed. Let me read the sentence correctly. Anyone giving a review that is higher than 2 stars have not ever be followed. Dude. That's this person's writing. That person has no credibility and obviously does not understand cuisines and fine dining. Thank you. Thank you for describing me. My 1 star is only given to the atmosphere of this restaurant, as I would include that into my review and ratings. Another reason is because Yelp forces you to give 1. By the way, salt and pepper squid is served on a squid chip with some diced jalapenos, bell peppers, etc. Diced means 1 diced piece placed here and there. This restaurant is comedy to me. Thanks. Well, Drew, can we say his name?
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. Drew, not that Corey needs our defending.
This is an old review. I will say, I'm looking at this as an old review.
How old?
11 years old.
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude.
But I took Drew, that first sentence of Drew's review is, I seldom write a review. You look at my health history, you can see that I barely write reviews unless they're worth writing. The two other reviews are of a yogurt shop that Drew praises for having somebody always cleaning it, and for Jasmine, which is just a lady, a psychic. It's
like this is 11-year-old review, but you know, I guess what we're trying to do is, this person is now a critic for the paper of record.
Like, this is, I mean, it's, it feels, and I mean, I guess this is still a problem because it could be contemporary, but like, this is the shit they were writing in the 70s too. It was just like, food of this, these dishes can't have value. They can't be expensive. They can't be nice.
When did newspapers stop being racist to food and to people? Because we talked about this, that we want to do a scripted series about New York City Chinese restaurants in the era of like, what was the Daniel Day-Lewis movie? Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York.
If you read some of those reviews about, and there were reviews, insanely racist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When did it stop? When did some editor be like, we can't do that no more?
Did it stop? I think I can.
When it stopped in that regard of like.
In that regard, yeah. I mean, you would still have.
So this review reminds me of reading something in the 1900s.
Yeah. Exactly.
But worse. It's way worse than the newspapers.
No, it's the same tone. You know what I mean? It like treats this as just like, I can't believe that you go to this place and like Chinatown is right there. You can go and order this there. Like, it's the same tone of just like surprised. It's just like, there's no, I do think this person is Asian, by the way. You don't think so?
They have really good at judging a book by their cover.
They have that vibe of the self-hating Asian. You know what I'm saying?
That's my job.
No, you hate yourself in different ways. This is just like racist against oneself. I feel like this is like a especially when they're like, oh, I love seeing the Asian family come. If that's not an Asian person saying I love seeing an Asian family come, high five. Like, that's fucking crazy. This review is terrible.
It's
this
a terrible
is like,
review.
This is the shit.
How did you know find this review?
I don't know.
What were you doing on this vision quest?
My God.
Maybe Drew is actually Druno.
Druno.
Yeah. Just his own review.
I wrote it myself. I hopped in a time machine and wrote it myself.
No, I mean, it's hard with these kinds of reviews that are just like, I wish this was, it's 11 years ago. I agree with you, Chang. It feels like this was 120 years ago. Just. No, man, it's depressing. It's depressing. I think it's more depressing to think Drew is an Asian person who's just, who.
Well, the reality is this, I don't think people will have this kind of review today. But it's an interesting point to see 11 years ago. It was funny. Nobody talks about the racist reviews over 30 years.
Yeah.
Post Craig Claiborne in the New York Times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody talks about how recently this kind of thing was published in the paper of record.
Well, I guess you can blame late stage capitalism.
But I'm sure you got your fair share of this kind of review, though. Anyway, it sucks. Delete this Yelper.
All right, let's take a break.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. No matter how you like your eggs, scrambled, over easy, or sunny side up, the people at Vital Farms believe in one thing, keeping it bullshit-free. That's why their pasture-raised eggs come from hens who each have over 108 square feet of space to roam and forage all year round. So you can spend less time questioning your food and more time enjoying it. Look for Vital Farms in your grocery store and learn more at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit-free.
This episode is brought to you by DSW. Whenever I'm thinking about picking up a new pair of shoes, the first place I go to is DSW. Whether it's gearing up for a holiday, reinventing your style, or just finding a pair to stay comfy in while watching the game, DSW has all the brands you want at prices that just make sense. Shop now at your nearest DSW store or online at dsw.com.
All right, you know, we got an Ask Dave.
All right, it's time for an Ask Dave. As always, you can ask us anything on the show. No more back pain recommendations, please. By emailing us at askdave@majordomomedia.com or by joining our Discord and tagging at in the DCS Pod Talk channel. Hey, Dave, Chris, and Dave, I know you spent a decent amount of time in Copenhagen and have made many a joke about sea buckthorn on the pod in the past. With the first stop being to avoid sea buckthorn at all costs, please tell me how to throw a perfect game in Copenhagen this summer by eating my way through the city. Thanks as always, Gord DS in Calgary.
I think that if I was going to go to Copenhagen, and one of the things that we're going to get back to when we come back on air is a proper atlas. But if I was going to be there in the summer, my number one priority is, in my budget, which hotel could I afford that has air conditioning, first and foremost?
This is huge.
Because this whole idea of, they don't need air conditioning, is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. You need air conditioning. They don't want to just open the windows. You know, the other thing, the other reason why, okay, let's dig into this. The reason why it's hotel over Airbnb vacation rental, something like that. I fucking hate European showers.
You know, I talked to my European friends and they turn the shower off as they soap themselves.
It's insane.
I understand. I appreciate the frugality of it all, but
totally.
It's my goddamn choice to waste water like that.
Also, you got plenty of water, Copenhagen. No, a European shower, much like the European king bed, like, you know, everything seems smaller and not built for our big American trucks. But like the European shower in houses that I have rented or apartments I've rented is like a 2-foot by 2-foot square of tile on the ground with like a curtain that goes around it and like the weakest water pressure in the world. For that reason alone, you have to stay at a hotel.
So I would try to find, even if it's a corporate soulless hotel, make sure you have no idea if a heat wave is going to come. And in Europe, they're coming all the time now because of this thing called global warming. And you want your air conditioning. Trust me, it could be the crappiest soulless hotel, but I'm going to stay there if there's air conditioning, because a lot of the hotels don't have air conditioning.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, Nome was closed. So there's a lot of alumni there. I don't even know the restaurants that are open there anymore, right? But that's easy. You could just probably just Google something. But
just look for like Christian Bauman's restaurant. And
Koan is someone I trust. Two people I trust have said that it's some of the best food in the world right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not that of a lack of ability for Christian Bauman, right? Adopted Korean kid. He is extremely talented. I think it was just finding the right format for him. And I think Koan is a restaurant I would definitely check out. I would definitely check out Beast by Puglisi. For sure, for pizza as something. If you wanted to get the 3 Michelin star level stuff, you could check it out, Geranium. Kadao is more on the Swedish side, so it's like the Williamsburg of Copenhagen is literally 30 minutes away.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of restaurants in Malmo you might want to check out.
Malmo is just a short little one-hour train ride or car ride across the bridge, and it is home to one of the great falafels in the world. They like griddle cheese in there and stuff.
There's a lot of great falafel food. Mm-hmm. Better Iraqi food in Sweden than there is in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What's our Chinese restaurant?
Dong Yuan. You're going to have a Dong Yuan?
I will. Because some of my finest meals have been in that restaurant. You're going to walk past. If you're staying in Copenhagen, no matter where you are, it's like a siren call. You don't know why, but you keep on walking past this restaurant. You're like, are there a lot of Chinese restaurants in Copenhagen? No, you just keep on walking by the same one. You want to go there. The other one clearly is Kebabistan. That's what you want to save for like your 2 or 3 in the morning drunken. Actually, I've had it sober. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. All the pastry shops. You got Heart Bakery. You got a bunch of other pastry shops. What's the one that we always get everything from?
Lakahuset.
Yeah. Very good. They have the coriander pastry thing.
Very, very delicious. Now, are you going to...
What's the Fiske bread place? Oh, Fiske Bar. Go there. That's like the meatpacking district.
Are you going to recommend that this...
S'more bread. What's the s'more bread place?
Well, there's Sankt Anne, and then there's Schoenemann's you like.
You got to do it. You're not going to enjoy the food. you won't.
The s'more bro being the
open-faced sandwich.
Open-faced sandwich.
We're like, woo. No, I don't know if I want to eat a giant smelt. The only thing that's good on a s'more bread is the tiny shrimp one.
That is good. The shrimp salad is very good.
It's a shrimp salad. Anything else I can't say is good, and you just need it to soak up all the schnapps.
Mm-hmm. Even the shrimp salad one, though, if tell me if you feel otherwise. Even the shrimp salad one, I'm like, I wish the bread underneath was milk bread and there was another piece on top. Mm. I could just eat it like a sandwich.
Also, rite of passage is a Danish hot dog at the airport. Or if you're going by Tivoli Gardens, there's always those hot dog stands there. You should get it. They're good. There's 7-Elevens there. I've eaten there.
I've never eaten at the 7-Eleven there.
I've had a pizza there.
Any good?
Yeah.
You're carefully cutting around a major part of what most people, most foodie people in Copenhagen are going to experience, which is like the natural wine,
gastropub. There's a lot of that. But there's a lot of Thai food. Mm. Right?
There's a lot of Thai food.
Mm-hmm. You should check out Rosio Sanchez's spot.
Of course.
Listen, Copenhagen's awesome because you can walk it, you can bike it.
Definitely get a bike. That's a huge thing. You should get a bike for sure.
It's all good, man. I haven't been in 4 years, so yeah. I can't tell you I think a lot has changed. And honestly, if we're going there, it's not like I have a choice anyway. We're just going to go wherever Renee wants to fucking go, which is fine.
It's true. So that is a Noma-less trip to Copenhagen. I would still go. I would still recommend going. Like Copenhagen, even if you're not going to eat at Noma, whatever, like what a fucking great eating city, actually. You know, but you recommend Dongguan, the Chinese restaurant, and like Rocio's place and Beast. Like people are probably thinking, like, why am I gonna go to Denmark to eat pizza, tacos, and Chinese food? Because,
well, Beast is Christian Puglisi used to be one of the opening sous chefs for Noma, and he is a handsome half Dane, half Italian man who now gives like restaurant advice on his Instagram.
He's
feed.
A TikTok influencer now, yeah.
But he has really focused on, he had a Relay and he had Manfred's, which was great, now closed. But what's his bakery called?
Mirabelle.
It's a sourdough restaurant. They make their own cheese. You know, Christian wants to make this the greatest pizza in the world.
It's really good. It's really fucking good.
It's really fucking good. So you should check it out because it's a full stop, vertically integrated restaurant. So you can see that. And there's great ramen there. You have slurp ramen. So over the past 20 plus years, a lot of people have set up shop and done their thing. So it's way more eclectic than you may realize.
Way more eclectic than when you first started going. Even in just that short period of time, I think. Way different, I think.
What was the bar that we would go to at late at night?
Jack's. I think that place is closed. I think that was where we saw like literal, after Mad and things, I think we saw like chefs like flying out the window.
That did happen. The one thing I will say don't sleep on is Danish breakfasts.
Yeah.
Because you're going to eat a lot of cheese and ham. Mm. A lot of cheese and ham. A lot. That's basically...
cheese, ham, and yogurt. That's all you have.
Yeah, muesli.
Muesli, yeah.
And prepare to feel bad about yourself when you look at how beautiful everybody is.
It is upsetting.
It's so upsetting.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
They look like they're all out of central casting, these fucking Danes. Yeah. Good God. Vegstranden, though. Good wine bar. Our buddy Christian runs that.
You're not going to be short of options. It's a wonderful city. It's one of my favorite places in the world. And check it out. Go eat.
I want to go back with kids. But the kids would like it.
I'm not putting them on a cross-country, transatlantic flight. You crazy?
Take a boat.
And you're not going to see that much sea buckthorn.
You will see a little bit. See more sea buckthorn than you usually do.
What's the old Noma restaurant?
What's in the old Noma space? Bar.
Bar is good, too. They got schnitzel.
Oh, fucking bar schnitzel is good.
Bar schnitzel is very good.
Goddamn.
And they have all the shipping container restaurants.
Yeah, right there by
there's so much fucking eating in Copenhagen.
I know. And you know, the weird little island where we would host Mad, which was just when you first started going, was just like a abandoned industrial area of Copenhagen. Now has like, Amos was there when they were around. But there's like a place called La Banchina now. Like there's stuff out there. Like
you can also find coffee. Things.
Oh yeah, fucking coffee
is good. So there's two things. Arguably the best dairy in the world is there.
Yeah,
butter.
Yeah, Danish butter, very delicious.
Very good.
Jesus. That was the other part of breakfast.
Butter, a lot of butter, and the coffee. Because I think like the past 20 years, like 10 of the past champion baristas have come from Denmark or Australia. I don't know why it's two of those countries, but it is.
Yeah.
Coffee there is extraordinary.
I think he's Norwegian, but Tim Wendelbo, I think, has shops there. That's the guy that we always go to when we're in Copenhagen, I think.
Anyway, we are jealous. Would love to go to Copenhagen and see everybody this year, because I haven't been, and my wife loves it. Noma is, you know, very close to us, and Copenhagen is a place that we love quite a bit. So Gord, enjoy it. It's a better city than Calgary from where you're from. We got a Moif. What we got, you know?
All right. Welcome to My Opinion is Fact, a segment where Dave and Chris deliver their hot takes on a variety of topics. Let's start with a detail one. If you could pick any two guests from history for Dinner Time Live, who would you have on and what would you serve? Please avoid Jesus and Buddha.
Any two guests from history? I hate this question. Last time I was asked a historical guest question, I said Helen of Troy.
Was she that pretty?
That's all I want to know. That's all I want to know. What would
you
be
can't
the
do it. You know, you gotta narrow it down.
Two historical guests. Kurt Cobain. No.
Narrow it down.
Okay, let's do musicians.
Mozart and Salieri.
Motherfuckers.
Dead or alive? Dead?
Let's stick with dead, because alive could actually happen.
Yeah. Late stage Elvis. It'd be fucking fun to feed. Holy shit.
I'm gonna go with two drummers. John Bonham, Keith Moon. See what happened.
You're looking for a wild dinner time.
Let's go. Life. Let's go. Let's fucking go.
You're looking for after dinner time life. Holy shit.
I'm looking for sparks, explosions.
That's amazing.
No holds bar.
Dead musicians? I'm sticking with my Mozart and Salieri answer. I want to see sparks fly too. I'm into this.
We're just going to do a quick French food, overrated, underrated. All right. We got the Olympics coming up in Paris, so I picked Parisian foods. Escargot, overrated, underrated?
Overrated.
Escargot, overrated. Garlicky butter on bread, underrated. Having a little chewy piece of snot in the middle of my butter.
We used to serve a lot of snails over the years, and I enjoyed it. Pete Serpico used to put a snail dish on the menu. He made a snail sausage at the early days of Co.
I remember that.
I think snail, first you got to get the right kind of snail. They have to change their diet. You got to clean them out. But in general, it's a slug. It's gross. And it's a vehicle for garlic, butter, and parsley.
Can I, will you find the answer to this stupid question I'm about to ask? You know how if you pour, not that I've ever salt. Done this, if you pour salt on a snail, it just disintegrates and dissolves into itself? Mm-hmm. How come that doesn't happen when you cook a snail?
I don't know.
Why doesn't that happen?
Because it's dead.
And that's the only thing.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, find us the answer for that, But yes, escargot overrated. When was the last time you had escargot?
I don't know. Last time I saw escargot was actually Canal Street, New York Noodle Town, like right before the pandemic. I was there for a late night. I've seen it before too, but Chinatown in New York is great because you see things in no other Chinatowns in America for me, because it's open so late. Mm. You will see a 4-year-old, 2-year-old, like just children at 4 or 3 in the morning eating.
Yeah.
And tables where we're eating these tiny, tiny snails. And, with still the trap door on them. So you like suck it out, spit
the little thing out. Oh my God.
And I was like,
respect.
Respect. That was the last time I saw it.
I bet that was good, but
no. Periwinkles too? No.
Not worth the juice, not worth the squeeze on a periwinkle.
So let me tell you, if you want to know what a periwinkle is, they eat it a lot in Spain. It's a barnacle, basically. Mm. And imagine you take this little shell. And it takes a lot of effort to rip the barnacle out. And then you start chewing a number 2 eraser with a little Florida cell. And you're like, that's what a periwinkle tastes like.
It's a tremendous amount of work for a little rubbery taste of the ocean. I agree. All snails, overrated. Mm.
So, Chris, I have your answer. So,
shit, that was fast.
So, according to Dr. Gordon Port, senior lecturer at Newcastle University, salt essentially draws the water out of their skin. And so it's a very permeable, their skin is very permeable. And so just salt is going to pull the water out of their skin. That's, thereby probably killing them. But when you're cooking it, you're obviously, putting in a solution or there's like stuff to work with there. So the flavor actually infuses the snail. And that's why you have all those like garlic and parsley and butter and all that good stuff. So that's the idea.
What a shitty way to die, man. Just to die through osmosis.
Can I be honest? As a kid, I used to do that.
I was prefacing mine with like, I've never done this, but like I did the shit.
We would take a hose and just flood the the like whatever front of our house, and snails would come out. My brother and I were like,
oh, fuck, it's time. It's, listen, I'm sure, whatever, no PETA people are listening to us anyway. It's one of the most amazing things you could see as a child.
Listen, I've accepted my karmic fate. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck.
It's fucking awful. It's fucking awful, but it's all like right. An amazing thing to see.
Next.
Sandwich humble boo. Ham and butter sandwich. Overrated, underrated.
What just came out of his mouth?
Is that what we're talking about here? Excuse me?
Quoi? Sandwich humble boo. Ham and butter sandwich.
I make that my cell phone ring, dude.
Ham and butter sandwich, a French one on a baguette with good... It really is infuriating because it's so good.
So fucking good.
It's so good. It doesn't make any sense. I've proclaimed my love for this sandwich for a long time. It is not just underrated. It's in the top five sandwiches of all time.
I think properly made, which to me is like 60-40 butter to ham inside. Fuck, it's so good. It's cannot, so good. Cannot be overrated. Thing is
it's so good. It's so good.
It's infuriating.
I don't like it when people try to put cheese in there.
No cheese. No. Butter, yeah. Ham, maybe some salt.
Here's a quick dad's thing. You know what? My kids are into toast right now. You know what I'm doing? I'm putting like 4 ounces of butter on their toast. It's almost like a layer of icing, like a fudge icing on their toast.
And still, I'm like, so cold butter so that it's still visible and I'm not melting into it.
Because like they're eating the butter. I'm like yeah.
It's like cheese.
I put Malden on it. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. That's good.
Oh, man.
All right, next.
All right, macarons. Not coconut, but the La Durée macaron. So,
macarons. Can someone tell me how that came to be? You had a coconut macaron and a macaroon. Coconut macaroon?
Macaroon is the little poop emoji of coconut. And the macaron.
Yeah. Pierre Mae macaron and also the ones you get from the top pastry chefs. I dare say the best Pierre Mae shop is in Tokyo. Mm. And a lot of the more contemporary patisserie shops probably make the better ones too. I don't even know their names anymore, but a properly made macaron. Like when I had the first time I had a Pierre Mae yuzu flavored one, I was like, what the fuck is this? Another thing why I like macarons is they're infinitely sandbaggable. In fact, they may be the darkest of dark arts, right?
How long will one hold?
I won't say which company, but there is a very, very famous company that makes these that sends them all out to the world frozen, and they package them up in beautiful boxes, and people are no idea. It's so sandbaggable that people... That's like the highest art of sandbag is people think that it's better after it's been sandbagged and they have no idea. And a macaron is so good sandbagged, frozen.
Yeah. Yeah. They taste quote unquote fresh.
Underrated. Because I can eat the shit out of those. Pop, 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 pop in my mouth. Like an automatic weapon.
What's the going price you think for a single? What did you pay for a single macaron without flinching?
I don't know.
Would you pay $5 a macaron?
Depends how good they are. You know?
That's the only limiting factor is because I could pop, pop, pop those too. But that tally adds up. Underrated. So delicious still. I don't care what anybody says. Passion fruit. I like a passion fruit one.
Goddamn. Salted caramel. Oh, God. Pistachio.
I've been on the record about this. Draw the line at the rose. Can't go with the rose.
The rose sucks. And anything that's like, yeah, rose sucks. And...
All right. Next up, brie cheese. Overrated, underrated.
I don't understand why people eat the skin on brie.
Ooh.
It's overrated. If I could eat brie without the skin, which I've done, and I wrap it in phyllo dough instead, then that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
But brie itself, the skin really ruins it for me.
It does feel like you're eating the peanut with the shell on it.
It doesn't taste good.
No, it's
there's so much bad brie out there.
People, only eat the brie skin because they're like, this is a waste if I don't eat the skin? Is it just a, is it an economical thing?
Or I don't, like, I here's the deal. I don't care.
I like brie itself, but I'm with you. The
baked
skin,
brie?
I like, come on. Baked brie in that pastry dough.
But you got to take the...
Which I'm assuming you do. You do that. That was delicious.
You got to take that gross skin off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The foreskin off.
I was at...
Dairy foreskin.
I was at Tatiana Leva's restaurant years ago in Paris.
She's a fucking outstanding cook, chef.
Unbelievable. But she had baked a whole little camembert wheel in pastry and like stuffed it with like XO sauce or something inside and baked it. And that was fucking awesome. But yeah, I don't know. Brie, it's so highly rated. I still like it. You think it's overrated?
I mean, it is what it is.
All right. Last one here. Opera cake for our listeners, a cake made of successive layers of coffee flavored cream, coffee ganache and almond sponge and a smooth and generous chocolate topping.
Does it have lots of layers?
Yeah, it's like the one with a bunch of layers. And yeah.
I think this is what they used to serve at like 20th Century Cafe in San Francisco. Is that right? If that's what it is, then it's super delicious. You haven't even heard of this.
I don't even know what it is. You know what it reminds me of? Bombolini.
What is a bombolini?
Not bombolini. What's that Italian?
Bombolini is like the fried.
Yeah, no, not that one. That was wrong. What's the Italian one that has like the three flavors of ice cream wrapped in chocolate shell?
Oh, the... God damn, what is it called? They used to do
the Spumoni?
Spumoni.
That's for me.
that's very delicious. Could not be more different than this thing. This thing is like a fucking, I guess it's kind of the flavor of tiramisu, but it's just like so many layers. They're beautiful. I don't know. It seems like it's underrated because nobody knows what it is. Dave doesn't even know what it is. I think it's delicious. Opera cake.
Coming off that, so guys, who's winning the NBA Finals? Give me your hot take.
Who's winning the NBA Finals? You know who's winning the NBA Finals? Adam Silver.
It's the Joker.
Again.
Yeah. Joker. Can't be stopped. Joker can't be stopped. Well, folks, we've reached the end. I don't want to tease that this could be the end forever. It's possible.
But without your donations,
yeah,
this might be it.
Big shout out to everybody at The Ringer, Victoria, Corey, the Podfather himself. Thank you for all of your help. To you guys. I mean, let's just be honest here. We have put our focuses on a lot of other things. And we really want to make sure that we come back as strong as possible for this podcast. This past year has been a whirlwind of focusing our efforts on a variety of things. And I think we're going to come back with the reorganization that I was hoping that we would be able to do on this show. And we'll get there.
Talk to y'all soon.
Bye.